it is. Get it locked in. It's Glosscast 212. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Lucky 7 today in our cast. We have Charles Nazarian here today. MJ Boylan. You can say hi, Charles.
Hello,
they can't
everybody.
See the gestures that doesn't translate on an audio podcast.
Glad to be here, Joey.
Thank you, Charles. MJ Boylan's here.
Hi, Joey.
Caitlin, what's your last name?
Kenyon.
Caitlin Kelly.
Howdy. Kenyon.
Yep. Associated with both of you guys are associated with Gloucester Stage.
Yep.
Dave DeAngelis from Cape Band Power Yoga.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Gloucester.
I'm really happy. Two weeks back to back, young couples starting businesses in Gloucester. We love to get behind those kind of people. We got Alicia Cox here.
What's up?
Oh, you didn't do the sexy voice for me.
Hi, Joey.
Ah! I just bumped it. All of a sudden, the desk just raised over an inch and a half. And Kim Smith is here with us.
Good morning.
All right, the intro music goes fading away. Charles, you got to leave early, so we're going to get to you first. The Meeting House Concert and Lecture Series, Christmas in the New World, Musicians of the Old Post Road. That's coming up this Friday night?
Yes, it is. It's part of our concert and lecture series that we do during the academic year from September until May. And as many people may not realize, the Gloucester Meeting House Foundation, although it's an affiliated thing with the Unitarian Universalist Church, is a completely separate 501c3 nonprofit. And we're dedicated to preserving that incredible building as a civic hub, as a cultural venue, and a community center. And
I would say, can I just interrupt for one
second?
Sure. Like when you just said that, the words couldn't be any more true. There's more, like it's the UU Church.
Everything is on there. It's
but it literally, like that, what is it? Mostly in the basement. They have the farmers markets happen there. They have concerts there. I mean, that space is really used.
I went to something there last night, a Christmas program called Welcome Yule, and it was lovely. It was wonderful.
There you go. Yeah, they're doing great things.
Yesterday they were open for Middle Street Walk.
Middle Street Walk.
I was there yesterday afternoon.
It's an amazing building. It's was built in 1806. It's the last surviving and the oldest church building in Gloucester. All the others have burned or were moved. The last two that we lost were Trinity Congregational Church 20 plus years ago, went up in flames right next to the fire department, because like our building, the walls are balloon framed, and so there's about 8 or 12 inches of space in the wall.
There.
And at Trinity Church, they were taking paint off with torches. They started a fire in the wall, and once it got going, they couldn't do anything. The second one, of course, was the temple that burned over 7 years ago. And they couldn't save it once the Lorraine started it on fire because of the hollow walls.
So you guys have balloon construction too?
Yeah, the building is, believe it or not, is framed with timber that was intended for boat building. There was a ship heading down to New York with mast and spar stock, and it was sinking off of Gloucester. And the Universalists bought it for salvage and built the meeting house with it. Oh. So our posts and beams are mostly 12 by 12s, believe it or not. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So the wall has a wall pocket, literally 12 inches of empty space.
Is there anything you can do about that in a future renovation?
Our big upcoming project is to infill all the walls with insulation fire stop material, and to install a sprinkler for the entire building. It's about $500,000 project, and we're about halfway there on the fundraising.
Wow.
We're up to about $240 now.
Wow, that's tremendous.
And we're going after a Massachusetts Cultural Council grant and a Peabody grant, hoping it will take us over the top and we can protect the building, because it's in constant use.
There's a lot of other history there too.
Right?
A lot of firsts there and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Want to rattle off a couple?
Yeah, sure, no problem. The founder, John Murray, was the first Universalist preacher in America. And countering the Puritan idea that you are damned or saved depending upon, you know, whether or not you were elect or not, he believed in a loving God and that everybody was meant to be returned to the light that we came from. And it caught on in Gloucester in a big way around the Revolutionary period. So he himself was a really amazing character. His wife, Judith Sargent Murray, whose museum house you know about on Middle Street, was America's first female playwright. She was writing to George Washington and to Benjamin Franklin, insisting that women should have the vote in the original Constitution. Mm. And she knew them because John Murray was George Washington's pick as the chaplain to the Rhode Island Regiment during the Revolutionary War. So it's absolutely amazing amount of history here in Gloucester that's connected to the building. One of the most absolutely amazing things is that because the Puritan Church disapproved of John Murray, and at the time you had to pay taxes to support the Congregational Church, he refused to pay taxes, and they confiscated all of his goods, and he had to go to court and sue in order to fight against having to pay taxes for a state church, and he won the case. And the state Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court ruled that a free people cannot be taxed to pay for a state church, and that was written just before the Separation Clause was written by Adams into the Constitution. And the Murrays and the Adams were good friends. And they were both on the same ship returning from England when the state judicial court came down with this ruling. And Adams went on to write the Separation Clause shortly afterwards.
Wow.
And that happened in Gloucester.
Roots.
Cool.
Roots, baby.
That is
yeah.
so
That's good.
We have
that.
Deep roots.
Yeah. I'm glad you stopped by.
Yeah, sure.
That's a hell of a where we go from there.
I can tell you about Friday night's concert.
Yeah, why don't we talk about the concert?
Now that we've gone really deep.
Yeah, geez.
Friday night's concert.
Open your pocketbooks.
Friday night's concert is something very special. Musicians of the Old Post Road is one of Boston's best-loved chamber ensembles. And they're doing something very unusual this year. Their theme is musical migrations. And this program is not your usual chamber music concert. It's music that was exported from Spain and Portugal to the Americas, to Brazil, to Argentina, to Central America. And they're going to perform this music the way it would have been performed in the Americas. So Gloucester's Brazilian community and Spanish community, I hope, will come and hear this, because it's something you will never hear almost anywhere else. They're using Baroque guitars and all kinds of interesting vocal stuff along with the ensemble. And the ensemble is, of course, you know, violins, cellos, harpsichord, flute, your usual wonderful chamber ensemble, but this is something very, very different.
Cool.
And it's Friday night at 7:30 at the Gloucester Meeting House, corner of Middle and Church.
Corner of Middle and Church.
Yep, on the green, at the corner of Middle and Church Street.
Oh, okay, is that where the Universalist Church is?
Yeah,
okay,
it is.
Well,
it's the home of the Unitarian Universalist Church.
Okay.
But it's really Gloucester's meeting house. It, as you said, there's so much that goes on there. It's in constant use as a community center and a civic hub. And we love to see the building used all the time. That's its reason to be there.
For more information, you can go to www.gloucestermeetinghouse.org. And they have everything's listed there.
Everything's listed there. You can get your tickets online.
There's also a litany of a bunch of other things. January 16th, Gloucester Martin Luther King celebration. The 11th of February, Levin in Saralanza, Valentine's concert. 18th of March, Musica Sacra and Baroque Orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
The 22nd of April, 6 Gloucester organists. That'll be pretty cool. 29th of April, Town Green 2025. What is that? Oh, Energy and Climate Change Fair.
Yeah, Town Green is an initiative of the Meeting House to help make Gloucester carbon neutral in a decade.
Cool.
And it's a program not only focused on solar alternative energies, but also using mitigation in order to reduce our carbon footprint, like planting forests in
going
in
proactive
the Americas. Exactly.
Instead taking of just trying
carbon,
to stop it, you'd go
right,
forward.
Taking the carbon out of the air. One of our board members is a guy named Harry Hintley, and he has a a foundation called Reforest the Tropics, and it's the one United Nations sanctioned carbon absorber. And he lives in Annisquam, so this is another Gloucester story. He's an amazing guy. He was in the nut and candy business most of his life, and he's made his company not only carbon neutral, he's gone 200%.
Oh, wow.
And cool. So he knows how to do it.
Love
and
it.
And so he's part of the 2025 Town Green.
Oh, I'm a big fan of all that stuff.
I knew there was good going on here in Gloucester, like, you know it's going on, but to hear this is really affirming that there's like some serious stuff and people doing real things. That's really encouraging.
You know what? It's funny because before I got involved with the blog, December 2007, right? We started this, and the blog started. You know, I was just a local kid that, you know, went to school and had very little appreciation for the space that we lived in. And when I started the blog, all these press releases come in, right? I hear about this stuff. I wouldn't have heard about this stuff, right? And that, it's just like, it's the biggest gift to me. The blog is the biggest gift to me because all this flows through, and you know, and you get to hear about it. And all the, like, a lot of townies, like, I would consider myself, I used to be more of a townie, right? That you, like, you are the most critical of the city and have the least appreciation and are the least involved, even though they're like rooted in here, really don't even leave the city, don't even go over the bridge. But like, you never hear him say anything positive. It's always just, you know, this, that, the other thing. And some have the appreciation, but a lot of times, you know, you don't. And so I'm glad we can bring the good news. Thank you, Charles.
Yeah. That's awesome. Very happy to be here.
Yeah. Moving on from that to MJ Boylan and Caitlin Kenyon, a child's Christmas in Wales at Gloucester Stage. It's this Friday night.
Yes, and what Charles has told us about going down at the Gloucester Meeting House sounds just lovely, but we have yet another wonderful thing going on in Gloucester. This Friday night, we have a one-night event, very, very special, a reading of Dylan Thomas's Child's Christmas in Wales. The two readers are Lindsay Krause, who is an Academy Award-nominated actress, and she's appeared a lot at Gloucester Stage and also in many, many films and television series, and she's one of the readers. And the other one is Christopher Lydon, and Chris is a radio journalist who is the host of Open Source, which is an NPR radio program, and for years he was the host of The Connection on NPR, and he's the former host of the 10 o'clock news when WGBH-TV had that. Very knowledgeable guy, so interesting to talk to, so...
When we first heard about this show, I looked up who Chris Lydon was and like his bio.
Yeah,
amazing. It's just it's a laundry list of accomplishments and accolades for this guy. Everybody knows Lindsay Krause, but this guy is equally. I mean, this guy is something else.
So,
yeah.
So what brought him to? How did you get him to involved in the show?
Well, he's a friend, and I also. Well, I saw him perform once another Dylan Thomas piece, Under Milkwood, at the Poets Theater in Boston and or Cambridge, and he really brought so much to it. He was on stage with some of the best actors you could see anywhere in this area. Certainly, Cherry Jones, who appears in Broadway, and Tommy Dara and Karen McDonald, very terrific, terrific actors. And there was Chris Lydon, who's not. Really an actor. He's a journalist, but his performance was just wonderful. So I asked him, I said, how do you feel about reading?
Wonderful.
And he, you know, for Gloucester Stage, and he was thrilled with the idea. We had a rehearsal last Sunday in Essex, and he was very enthusiastic about it. He's having a wonderful time, as is Lindsay. They're both enjoying working with each other. Bob Walsh is directing, and it's just a really, really sweet piece. It's, I don't know if you know the history of it, but Dylan Thomas wrote it in about 1952 as a radio announcement and a radio program. And he kind of just, you know, dashed it off. It wasn't going to be anything deep. In other words, there's no story of Scrooge being redeemed, you know, or anything like that. It's a kind of a very charming, nostalgic look back at childhood in a coastal town, a very snowy coastal northern town in Wales, and just the memories of what Christmas was like with in a certain kind of community and a family and with friends. And you know, yes, it has things like gifts in it, but they're really just minor. The story is how this community engages with one another at Christmas time, seen through the eyes of a child, but told by an adult. And it's just a lovely, lovely story.
That's this Friday night.
It's this Friday night, yes. And the part of the event is going to be, there's going to be a music intro, which is the group Meridian. It's Olivia Gale. Full disclosure here, she's my daughter. And and her singing partner, Colin Delabar. And this is one of their CDs, Joy, Health, Love, and Peace. They're going to be singing some very traditional Christmas music from the British Isles as a warm-up to Child's Christmas. And then they're also going to be part of the reading, as in several points in the reading, they just will fill in with some music that kind of goes with the story. And it should be absolutely just beautiful. And we also have a party beforehand that starts at 6 o'clock for our VIP ticket holders, and that's going to be a lot of fun. Caitlin's doing all the organizing and on that, and putting so much of this this piece together. And we also have an auction, because this event's a fundraiser.
Oh, is this the big fundraiser that Heidi's been talked about every
yes.
week? She kind of
yes.
plugs this a little
mm-hmm.
bit.
Yeah.
Oh, so this is a big one, huh?
Yeah, this is a big one. We're hoping to close out the year, you know.
It's been a successful year. I mean, there's been a hit after hit.
Yes.
That, the one
yes.
with the what was the one with the guy stuck in the snow that Israel
Oh, Man
piece?
In Snow.
That went to New York, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it did, and it got fabulous
really
reviews there.
Reviews.
It was a very, very moving show. I saw it as a reading a year ago and liked it, but the production at Gloucester Stage was heart-stopping. It was just beautiful.
It's been a big year for them.
Yes, it has.
Well, you guys,
yes,
I should
yes,
say.
Been
yeah.
a wonderful year. We love what we do.
So, Caitlin, what is your role at the...
So, I'm the Marketing and Development Director, and I'm also kind of the, I guess... the main event organizer for
yes,
this,
you are.
I guess you could call me that. I'm kind of the big brain that controls everything in the background. So,
do you get the VIP list of the people you need to reach out to? I just want to go back up just a little bit. Gloucester Stage is any community, you know, outside of the big cities would just be we're so blessed to have Gloucester Stage as part of our community, right? I mean, to have these productions in our beautiful theater, like on the water by Rocky Neck and everything else, and the talent that we get to come here, like, you know, it helps to get, you know, to have our beautiful community that these New York and Boston actors can come and spend. They love being here, but to be able to field these incredible productions, it doesn't happen. The money to fund these productions just doesn't come out of thin air. I mean, we depend on people that have an appreciation for what Gloucester Stage brings to the table. So I imagine your task, if you fail and the whole thing goes down the toilet, it's all on Caitlin. It's all on Caitlin Kenyon's shoulders right here as the director of this big piece. So, I mean, I hope you have a nice strategy.
Well, you know, if you had seen me last year, I organized an event like this last year, Love Letters, and I was actually still an apprentice when I did that. I wasn't even a full-time staff member. And I was terrified. I had a great support system, though. The board members were, everybody was there 100% for me. My staff were just like, Caitlin, what can I do? How can I help you? And we went through that, like, trails a-blazing. We generated 225% of our fundraising goal.
Nice.
And it was great. It was a super fun event. So coming into this, and knowing I had MJ on my committee, also Judith Hoaglander and Sally Jackson are all working with me to organize this event, it can seem nerve-wracking because you're like, okay, I gotta raise a lot of money.
Yeah.
But you have all these people that are like, we want to help you put the pieces together and we want to make this possible. And then when you send out invitations and you put out posters and you see responses, we sent out a save the date and I got 15 phone calls that day saying, when can
nice.
I buy my tickets?
Yeah.
Nice. So people are really supportive, and they really care about this theater, and it's great. It's really great to see.
You seem very confident, so that's good.
Oh, thanks.
It's a good sign.
The fundraisers are so important because, as you probably know, if we were to run a theater on ticket sales, our tickets would be through the roof. They'd be Broadway prices, and right. We can't do that here.
Yeah.
So we have to rely on things like this to keep our ticket prices reasonable, so people can, community can enjoy our theater.
It all kind of it's intertwined.
Yeah. Can we tell you a little bit about the auction? Because there's a couple of great items.
Love to hear about.
Yeah. One of them is this one just came in. Sally Jackson arranged this. There's a woman named Barbara Lynch who's probably one of Boston's top chefs. She's only the second woman that's ever gotten the James Beard Award, and she's got 7 restaurants in Boston, Number 9 Park, and then B&G Oysters, Sportello, Drink, Montan. Anyway, she recently, I guess, moved to Gloucester, and she's a supporter of Gloucester Stage, and she's going to put on a dinner for 8 people in her home at Folly Cove. This is like a top Boston restaurateur. And the winning person gets to bring themselves and 7 people.
There's 7 of us here. Do you guys want to go in here? Go!
Let's go in on a bid.
Dang. That's
what are some of the other ones, Caitlin?
Oh, gosh. We have so many really good ones. I'm trying to pick out.
It's not a big auction. It's just we're auctioning like 10 or 12 things. It's going to mm-hmm. be a quick thing right before the performance starts. But
so one really cool package we have is we've kind of labeled it the Sea Adventure Package. It includes a 4-ticket weekly community sale membership to the Schooner Adventure for the 2017 season, which also, that membership will include discounts on merchandise, sailing tickets, invitations to special events. But we are combining that particular package with something really cool that MJ secured.
Oh, yes. It's a copy of Nubar Alexanian's new book, Where the Fish, When the Fish Came First.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a gorgeous, large format book of photographs that documents Gloucester, both upland pictures and at sea, around the time just before fishing collapsed, and it's a beautiful, beautiful book. And with that also comes a large format framed print of the cover photo. This is just a beautiful, beautiful.
He came in and spoke. Dubak came in with us and spoke about this. So that was helped financed by the guy that. Lindsay Coolidge.
Lindsay and Beth Coolidge were the ones that actually spearheaded this. Yeah. I
saw some of the photos are incredible.
Yes.
And the format of this book, I guess Lindsay had said this needs to be.
It needs to be big, a
big
statement.
Right. It needs to be a statement. And there's only there's not a, he didn't do a whole lot of them and
500.
That's it.
Right. Yeah. And they're talking about a coffee table book. This is like coffee table book on steroids.
Yeah. Well, Lindsay was looking to do something like what Charles Curtis had done with Native American photographs. And he actually has a copy of one of Curtis's books of photographs, which is a beautiful thing. And he said, I want a statement like this for Gloucester. Mm-hmm. And that's Nubar's book. And it was a real labor of love for both of them. So we're excited about
Nubar was talking about some of the steps that he went through to get some of these images and how many days he went back to get the light just right and the tide just right. And remember the one he was talking about?
Right,
with
the sun setting and like between two shapes to get it.
Yeah. It's
he's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant.
And he was on the Lucia boats, the Brank Leone. Yeah, the Brank Leone family, who was one of the Highlanders of the fleet back in that day. Mm-hmm. The last kind of big... The last of the when fishing was
really
when
big.
Gloucester, you could say, was
so
really on top of
them. When were those photos taken, MJ?
In the early 80s. Might have been some in 1979. He did a feature for a magazine called Geo, and he took 4 trips out to the George's Banks, and each one of them were a 10-day trip. So as a matter of fact, when he came back from the first one, his wife Rebecca came to the wharf to pick him up, and she didn't recognize him. He hadn't eaten a thing the entire time.
I'm surprised, because really those guys sick. Ate pretty good. Yeah. Those guys on those boats, those guys ate like animals. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he suffers from seasickness. So.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
It was really rough. Anyway, that's when those photographs were taken, and there's beautiful ones taken, photographs of traditions, sandcastles, there's pictures taken at City Hall and 4th of July celebrations. It
one of those images was the schooner on the horizon or something, and and with the format of the book, the schooner is like tiny, it's such a cool shot.
In a big field, that's the Lannan kind of going off into the mist. It's a beautiful.
Yeah. One time I was with Angela Sanfilippo at a book signing of New Bars, and she sat down with me and she showed me the pictures that
she was featured several times,
and she's very pregnant in one of them, mm-hmm. and was very sweet.
Yeah,
she was so proud.
Yeah,
she was just really so proud to be in New Bars. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you just quickly about one of our other exciting items. One of them is a weekend in Washington, D.C. during Cherry Blossom Festival. The Hoaglanders donated their home in Washington, and combined with that, we've got a dinner for two at a wonderful restaurant called Busboys and Poets, and also tickets to the theater. That weekend is up for grabs, and anyway,
we have a lot of really awesome items that, you know, a lot of great donors just threw in for us, so we're really excited about it. It should be a lot of fun.
This
Friday night,
and there aren't that many tickets left, so
GloucesterStage is .com, Kim?
GloucesterStage.com.
You might have a little something on that. Right, GloucesterStage.com for to buy tickets, I imagine.
Yeah.
Right?
This Friday night.
All right. Thank you guys for coming in. Stick around for the podcast if you want. If you don't, you don't have to. Dave DeAngelis is here. Cape Ann Power Yoga. Last week, we had our friends from Pigeon Cove Ferments. Yes. They're really super new.
Kristen and Dylan.
Do you know, they're from your neck of the woods, aren't they?
I don't know.
Do you know them?
No.
I'm shocked that you don't know them. Yeah. I figured all those North Gloucester, Rockport people, all of that, gets a whole different...
We probably bump into them out in the woods.
Subculture, right. Yeah.
They live in Rockport.
Yeah. See him in the woods out there. Yeah.
But he's the master brewer at the brewery.
I'm going to have to go check that out.
Yeah.
And he and his wife and him started Pigeon Cove Ferments, and they're making incredible sauerkraut, and kimchi, and ginger turmeric sauerkraut, salsa kraut.
Traditional caraway.
Traditional caraway. All this, incredible.
Cool. Oh, they're amazing.
So there's the probiotic kind of thing right now, and there's active stuff in this.
Right, I've been eating it all week since trying to grow more quickly. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you right now, if you have any digestive problems whatsoever, you eat a little bit of this, it cleans you right up. Does it or not?
Joey, if I had digestive problems, I don't think I'd be talking about them on the radio.
No, but they say this is good for digestion.
He's saying he doesn't because he's been eating his probiotics.
No, I'm telling you, because some women, they want to, you know what I mean? They can't poop. And you eat this, and you poop. I know this. I mean, is that true or no? Am I talking?
You got a medical degree too.
No, it's true. But you know, this is good stuff. Anyway, we're getting off track. It's delicious on top of all the health benefits. It's delicious.
Right, it's really delicious.
Never mind the benefits of being able to poop if you can't poop. It's really delicious. So, Pigeon Cove Ferments, look them up. They're on Facebook.
I'm
a marketing genius. I don't care what anybody says. I'm a marketing fucking genius.
Yes, you are. Anybody that can use the word poop and delicious in the same sentence.
I will say to the marketing that I'm grateful that I've been included for this last year on the Cape Ann Wellness website. The number of times that anytime a new person comes into our yoga studio, I ask them, I say, oh, great, what prompted you to come here today? And so many times people say, I saw something on Good Morning Gloucester and I figured I'd come down and give it a shot.
Boom. There you go. See that?
It really is. So, might have a doctorate in marketing.
So we had a conversation before.
you should have an honorary doctorate.
No, but when Dave just got here before, Dave was the first person here, when we normally accumulate the show notes, and the conversation I had with him, I'm like, they started, when did you open the doors?
We opened in September of 2015, so just a little over a year
ago. A little over a year ago.
Yeah, really.
But in the face of, literally, Gloucester is filthy with
right.
yoga studios. There's every third door, there's a yoga studio.
There's probably more than 10 places in Gloucester, Rockport, where you can go take a yoga class.
Really?
So the question begs, you know, what inspired you guys, and why would we go to Cape Ann Power Yoga as opposed to these places that are already open? And then you explain to me.
So my wife Elizabeth has been teaching yoga at a really high level since 2000. She was practicing. She was looking for a yoga practice, and she called all these studios and she said, "Is your yoga vigorous?" And this Baptiste studio in Cambridge said, "Yes, our yoga is vigorous." And she went and she tried it once, and she went back the next day and she started going 4 or 5 times a week. And the guy who owned it, this guy Baron Baptiste, saw her practicing and he said, "Hey, you know, this is really starting to take off. I need people to teach because I can't teach all these classes. I need you to learn how to teach yoga and start teaching." So that was back in 2000, and Baptiste Yoga blew up. And there's Baptiste studios are people that Baptiste has taught all over the world, and Elizabeth went on these boot camps, they were called, to Mexico and Hawaii. She's been to Tulum like 20 times now, I think, with big groups, you know, 100 people at a time, all practicing yoga. And then she started teaching in Gloucester like 10 or 12 years ago, maybe more than 10 years ago. She started in a living room, actually, with a small group of people, Molly Lutkovich and Charlie Olson, and just some cool people in a living room. And then from there, she taught at Treetop for a number of years, and then finally, just 2 years ago, we said, "Hey, it's time for us to have our own studio now." So the whole reason we started our studio, or the whole design of our studio, is to make yoga as easy and accessible as people for possible. Because it's scary for a lot of people. A lot of people are intimidated about it. They don't know what to wear, what to expect, what happens if they fart. Like, it's a big deal for a lot of people. It's a big, scary thing. So we wanted to eliminate all of that. So we opened up in Browns Mall, right downtown. And we've got a beautiful view. You can see the paint factory from our studio, which is nice. And so it's a nice, light, open room. It's airy with high ceilings. We made all of our classes are all levels. So no matter what class you come to, it's the same Baptiste Power Yoga. And you can be brand new, never done yoga before, or practicing 20 years, and there's space for you to come.
Sometimes
and
I look at
practice.
These schedules for these yoga studios, and to fit in, you know, you're like, "Oh shit, that's an advanced class. I'm not advanced. I guess I can't go." And when you have in today's world, people don't have a lot of time. So for me to fit in yoga
to
what my level is,
that said, it
is intimidating.
We have all these different studios here. You can go and take, you know, 20 different types of classes. You can find something, because power yoga isn't for everybody. And I don't want somebody to come in that, if it's not for them, I don't want them to be suffering at my studio. You know, I'd rather them go find a class that works for them and have a good, healthy yoga practice.
Well, can I ask you what is Baptiste yoga? Like,
so,
I know what power yoga is.
So Baron Baptiste was a kid. He grew up, he was a surfer kid out in California. And his parents back in the 70s were really into Eastern things and health and wellness. And so they had, these details aren't, Elizabeth knows more about this than I do. But basically, they had two of the main branches of yoga. There was this guy Krishnamacharya in India who kind of set yoga on its way as we know it, and he had three really popular students, and two of them, Pattabhi Joyce and BKS Iyengar, came and stayed with Baron's family when he was a kid. So he was this 13-year-old surfer kid with these yoga greats in his home. And so he had a journey where he reluctantly began to teach yoga and develop his own methodology. And he went and worked for the Philadelphia Eagles back before yoga was popular, back in the 90s. He was a strength coach for the Eagles. And then he came to Boston, opened his studio up, and
But I understand that. But what she's saying is,
yeah,
what physical movements are there in well, this type of thing? Right?
From what you just said, I understand more. It's so, more about strength. Because, like, there's... I do hatha yoga.
Sure.
So, which is more, you know, meditative and
yep.
breathing and...
Yeah, so we
it's
do that,
very,
too.
It's very restorative.
Yep.
Right.
So this is a restorative practice, too. It is
okay.
the restorative benefits from it. It's a classical practice directly descended from that Krishnamacharya,
okay.
You know, through two or three people, too, from them to Patabi Joyce to Baron Baptiste to Elizabeth Huntsman to our teachers, who are all we work a lot with to make sure that they're teaching at the highest level they can. And Elizabeth has a lot of experience teaching people how to teach yoga. So we focus on alignment and adaptability.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever fitness level you are, whatever age you can come in,
mm-hmm.
it's safe because we're mm-hmm. not asking your body to do anything
mm-hmm.
that it can't. And then there's asana, which is the actual poses
right.
that you move into. So you move through different poses, down dog and poses like that. And then there's meditation as part of it too. It's a moving meditation. And the cool thing about that is that whatever you have on your brain, you know, especially us Yankees here, we're all busy and looking
mm-hmm.
10 steps down the road. When you come to your yoga mat and you start to practice, you focus on your breath, on one inhale, followed by one exhale,
mm-hmm.
your gaze, which is your drishti, you just let your gaze land at one point, and attention to the alignment, and so that's all of your focus.
Oh.
And then what that turns into is a flow in your system and a heat, an internal heat in your system. And so whatever stuff you have in your brain when you come to your yoga mat, as hard as you might try to keep figuring, working on that problem and finding an answer, usually by about 45 minutes into class, you're so consumed by what you're doing
you just
let it go.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. I knew that.
Joey, we've been trying to get Joey in there for a bit, so I came up with the marketing scheme here to get Joey in there. Joey, when you come in and take class, I was going to see if you could do it this week, but I know you're slammed, but whenever Joey comes in and takes his first class, we're going to donate half of the proceeds of the class to the charity of his choosing.
Yay.
Oh, you mean the not just my fee? Like the
people's
fees?
The whole class.
Oh, shit.
I'm putting
the
pressure on you.
That's
pressure on you,
shit.
Joey.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
So then we'd have to, we're going to have to come
so
up
you're
with
gonna have
so
to
I'm,
do
I'm,
it.
I'm going to have to know a day that I don't have to work.
Yeah.
And then we can market that, so
right.
we can have a whole bunch of people like
right.
me that are yoga dummies that could come in and do it.
Maybe
yeah.
like in January.
Yeah, maybe
yeah.
tomorrow, maybe this afternoon at 4:30.
So when I'm offloading books. No, but I have my vacation time starts in January.
Yeah.
So I can actually commit to a date. And that's what's important. Yeah, we'll do that.
Cool.
I'm psyched now.
That would be so
cute. Oh, you didn't mention another part of your marketing.
Mm-hmm.
$10 classes, any class is $10.
Yeah, so our whole thing, we wanted a studio where it was easy for people to come and practice, so we figured if we did the work of eliminating excuses for people, then it would be that much easier to get people in. So all the classes on the schedule are the same, you don't have to cherry pick when you're going to go, and then classes are $10, because when it's $10, you don't even have to think about it.
So you don't have to commit to like...
You can just show up with $10 and come
really?
Take class, and
oh,
it's less
awesome.
If you're a member of the Cape Ann YMCA. So
that's very competitive pricing.
Yeah.
We want people to be able to do this practice and make it a part of their lives and be successful at it. And because when you come and practice once, you'll feel great. You'll feel good and loose.
Yeah.
When you come two times a week, you're feeling better. When you come four or five times a week, which sounds like a lot, but it's just an hour and 15 minutes.
Mm.
It really makes a shift in your life. And we see people every day. It's really rewarding for me to get to go teach. I teach five classes a week, and it's so rewarding to see these people that come in, and you can see the benefit that they're getting from it. And their carriage, the way that they walk down the street, just healthy, with good posture and a good attitude.
That's the best I ever felt when I was going to yoga a few times a week. But my daughter goes to Cape Ann Power Yoga, and she goes to the morning classes.
Cool.
So she walks down. Because Elizabeth is lovely, by the way. I worked out with Elizabeth at CrossFit while she was pregnant, and she kicked my ass. She was like 9 months pregnant, like killing it at CrossFit, and I was always her her partner because she kicked my ass. Like, but she's awesome, and I know Jonna as well.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Talia loves it. Talia goes down. I'm like, I know. Talia walks there, and then she'll walk back home. She's like sweating. It's great.
Can't wait.
I need to get back into it.
We've got another thing. If you walk
ride your bike or carpool to class 10 times, you get a free class. Like a little coffee punch card. So encourage
carbon people. Footprint, baby.
There you
take
go.
That. We're carbon that. Footprint.
And then also, if you come to three for the daylight savings time, if you come to three early morning classes in a week, you get a free class put onto your account to use anytime. Because we want people to practice
a lot. What time are the early morning classes?
Monday through Friday, it's 5:30 to 6:30. And there's not a better way to start your day. It's awesome. It's scary as hell thinking, oh my God, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and go to yoga. You just got to have your coffee ready, have your clothes ready to go, wake up, go out the door.
Well, that's late for me.
Well, you know what?
No, because I get down here at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Four.
So, but like when my vacation time starts, my body's been programmed to wake up at 3:30
right.
to get to work by 4. And so when Kate's still trying to sleep and I'm fussing about in the bed, you know, she's like, can you please let me sleep when I'm... You know, so I could get out the door and do that and then come back before she even wakes up. That'll work out.
You know what I'm thinking is that I love to go filming at daybreak, but right now the sun doesn't rise till 7.
You need something to do until then. Come take class.
There you go.
Oh, one more note. We've just had infrared heat installed, which we're really excited about. It's these infrared heat panels, and the way infrared works is just like sunlight. So it's a invisible light that it warms surfaces. So it's really nice because it's people get intimidated by hot yoga. You know, hot yoga, I don't want to do that. But the way this heat works, it warms you, so you're toasty, but the air isn't like a million degrees. So it's not like you're breathing in an oven, but you feel, you walk in there, you sit in that heat for 5 minutes and you're already loose and feeling good.
Yes.
Yes. Joe, you're going to love it.
My eyes are floating around in my head right now. That's fantastic. Okay, so you could check out that at facebook.com, K-Band Power Yoga, easy search. You know, I always like think that I have to like spell out the URLs.
www, yeah,
right?
2016.
But really, you go to Facebook and you type in K-Band Power Yoga in the little search box, you're going to find it. Right. So there you go.
Okay.
Business people that don't use Facebook are crazy. Because, you know,
90%. Do you have a website and a Facebook page?
Yeah, we have a website, Facebook.
I asked him, but he said to put people to the Facebook page.
Yeah, we try to use that Facebook, get that going. Like us,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Middle Street Walk was yesterday. Who got to go? You got to go.
I didn't go Middle Street Walk.
Oh,
until
that's part of it.
I went to like, you know, the last part of it.
The last half.
Kim was up and down the street. Yeah, but your post in particular, she had like 233 Facebook shares.
Yeah.
But we have over right now, well over 200 likes, and also we have over 33 shares, which reaches thousands. So that post went viral. So we definitely have. So last night, all the lobster trap tree postings, basically we went viral.
Do you know what happened with the menorah? They're not doing the menorah this year?
I don't know why they didn't do that.
Well, Hanukkah's late this year, maybe that's why.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it doesn't start until like Christmas Eve or something.
Yeah,
James Dowd, we gotta get on him.
They participated in the walk, in the Middle Street Walk yesterday, but I think you could just, you go on a tour of the church. It wasn't, I heard a oh, there is a boat.
So we're back. The tree lighting,
first time I've ever gone.
Is it?
I missed it
because I had to pick up
Kate. When we talked about townies doing Gloucester stuff,
you know,
I'm one of them. I don't do a lot of Gloucester stuff.
Yeah, and sometimes you get in a negative space and you shit on Gloucester, and then you have something like that, and it'll come in and you understand what's so friggin' cool about it.
All the stuff that I've done, anything Gloucester-related events and things like that, are because, you know, learning from Gloucester. Exactly.
Well, shit happens all around us. If you don't hear about it, you know, like it operates in a vacuum.
Yeah.
David Brooks is not operating in a vacuum at Art Haven. The stuff that happens there and the kids.
That kid's incredible. David, I've had the pleasure because we're in our studio's in Browns Mall and Art Haven's there.
Oh, right.
I see David all the time. It blows me away what he does. The caliber of person that he is. He's so busy doing good with his time. It's like, it's humbling anytime I talk to him. And this sounds like ridiculous, like I'm being verbose, but
no,
like,
but really,
it really, just getting to know him, he just. It does. They do so much good there, and that lobster trap tree was a big reason why we opened our studio where we did. That I went down, and you know, I looked
That's
at places
great.
All through the West End and all through Gloucester and even in other towns, and we walked into Brown's Mall, and I saw that lobster trap Christmas tree, and I said, "Yeah, this I want to be by this energy right
now." Wow, that's awesome.
That's tremendous.
But how many kids? So I brought my daughters have done it for a bunch of years. They paint the buoys for the buoy auction, which is awesome, the fundraiser. But
every day there were kids.
Hundreds.
Maybe thousand. Right. Maybe a thousand kids. I don't know how many kids get affected, touched by this. Right? They were cranking the kids through there all day long.
When I walked in yesterday, there was a line of strollers. There were like five babies in strollers. And then the whole place was just packed, teeming with kids painting.
And the volunteers, they had it all down. I mean, when they started this about, right. 8 years ago, I don't know how long ago they started it, but.
I think I read on, they started Art Haven in 2008. I don't know when they started
They kind of came up with the blog, the same kind of time frame. But it's just, you know, the system of getting that many kids through painting a buoy and the art supplies and the shout out to Three Lantern Ship Supply. When I got there, they had run out of buoys. They donated three cases of buoys, 75 buoys or something like that.
Wow.
Just like, you know,
just showed up and
that's really nice.
That's awesome.
They're not cheap. Those buoys aren't cheap.
Right.
You know, those buoys are like I think they're like $8 a piece now.
Wow.
It's because they're oil-based product, you know, and they used to cost a couple of dollars. They're not to replace those are not cheap.
And then there's part two is the buoy auction that comes up in January. That's so much fun. It's in January, right? The buoy auction.
I think so. I'm always on vacation, and
so
I always
it's always super fun. It's always just an amazing community event.
Awesome. So shout out to that. I got to go to City Hall, the gingerbread house thing.
Amazing.
You weren't there, right?
I came back and photographed.
Yeah, you photographed that. And the Philosay Association had, Dougie Parsons had a video of gill netting, I think in Gloucester, and a lot of the old wharves. It was someone's, you know, real thing that they got put onto a DVD so you could see footage of the Philosay floating and spinning the nets on the big net reels. And
Are they gonna post that somewhere?
You know something? I gotta ask them to.
You have to do it, Joey.
That would be awesome.
We'd be happy to, but you know, it's kind of like I don't know if it's their thing that they want to keep it on there. So maybe they want to share it. But a lot of cool stuff at City Hall. There was Maggie Rosa, her husband Steve Dexter gives those tours of the
yes.
Steve Dexter was for like 8 hours was up in the belfry giving tours of the, you know, how cold it was yesterday, giving tours of City Hall Tower. That is you know, that is a commitment to City Hall right there.
Did you see the WPA mural ornaments? They're going to do a new one each year. So Catherine Ryan showed it to me. It was about 3.5-4 inches in diameter, and it's part of, you know, just one little scene of the WPA mural painting. And then Seneca Nogella held it up to the light, and the light coming through this little glass ornament with the painting. But they're going to do a new one each year, I think. Like,
are they printed or are they painted?
I think they're somehow embedded into the glass in between. You know, it was probably somehow in between the sheets of glass because it was like, I don't know exactly.
Oh,
the
one that hated the hotel, the what's her name there?
That'd be a little
Shmoopy.
Bit more
Shmoopy. The Shmoopy girl. The Shmoopy girl. What?
Not Birdie.
No.
No, Shmoopy. She had the little studio and it was next to Cafe Cecilia. She sold the Greasy Pole t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
Shmoopy Foley, whatever. Olympia Palazzolo's daughter.
Yeah, I know exactly.
She had those ornaments, and they had the scenes from the fiesta. It was like transparent, on a thing.
Yeah.
Is it the same thing? They insert it into the clear bulb, and then it kind of expands. And
I don't
it's
know,
like a
these
scene.
Were flat. These were these were two-dimensional.
Right,
these
inside of the bulb, though.
Yeah, inside the flat, round disc.
Oh, flat round disc, not a round bulb.
No, not a round bulb.
Oh, okay, something different.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't ask Catherine, but we could ask her.
She probably did a post on it, right? Or she's probably putting together a post?
Hopefully she will. Yeah, because it would be nice to be able to purchase those, you know, now that the city, that the Middle Street Walk is over. They had ones left over. So
yeah, shout out to Melissa Cox. She had her awesome soaps there.
Yes. And
we bought some of those. She had lobster ones.
Yeah, she wanted me to make sure I took a picture for Good Morning Gloucester of her lobster soaps.
I bought some.
You did.
I bought some, yeah, for the kids, because the kids love her soaps. And you know what? When they take a shower after they get out of the shower, I can't stop smelling their head.
So oh, they smell good. Her soap smells so good.
Her soaps really, really smell awesome.
I bought a lot of her soaps.
And Bex was there with her ornaments.
Her little lobster ornaments. Yeah. Speaking of Bex, great segue. Mm-hmm. She won the caption contest with a contest. You guys know about that?
Yeah.
The T-shirt? I'm announcing it right now, okay. I guess. So we had a contest. There was a picture of a really not-so-realistic-looking Santa. Some Gloucester. I don't know what event was at.
And the cricket charm.
And the kid was running away, screaming, running away from the bad Santa. And
Can you tell us what the caption is, or do
Jesus,
we have to wait till tonight?
I knew you were going to do that to me.
Oh, sorry.
I can find it.
How are you going to tell us that she won a caption contest and not tell us what?
I know. That was
really funny, I swear.
Contest.
Stick with work.
2 seconds. That's what we have search engines for.
Let me Google that for you.
Well, in the meantime, we went to see Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, I saw that this week.
Yeah.
So is it good? I've got to say, looking at the previews for that, it looks like just another Lifetime movie to me, but it happens to be local. Like, I'm not that excited about it. I want to be won over by it. I'll go and see it.
Okay, well, I'll be very frank.
Yeah.
So it's fun to see the scenes of our local community woven in and out, and then 1 minute you're in, you know, as a viewer, 1 minute you're in Essex,
Goose Cove,
right? The next minute it's juxtaposed against Manchester, right? But it's, you know, still super fun to see that. You don't read this in the local reviews. It's a very dark story.
Yeah.
And it's very sad, and the characters are very
And it doesn't really come broken. Come out into us in a happy place.
No, it doesn't. Oh. The people are very broken.
What was the one with the woman, the Mainer, that the three-part movie they did a few years ago? It was a book. They filmed it in downtown Gloucester.
Yeah. Kittredge.
Yeah. Olive Kittredge. That bummed the hell out of me too. I was like, oh great. Like, oh, this is just a sad story.
Yeah, this is truly a sad story.
Right.
So, but.
That's a good disclaimer.
But yes. Many critics are saying it's the best awesome film of the year. There's people that really...
Yes, I guess so. I mean, I would give them a C- in accents, because I'm just being very honest.
That's my pet peeve. Like,
I can't listen to movies that try to do the accent.
Well, you know what?
There was one that was good. The one with Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp.
They nailed it. They didn't overdo the accent. The one where he was the gangster.
Buddy Bolger. Right. And the Boston Globe one was really good.
Right.
Oh, Spotlight. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Spotlight.
However, this is like, it's so incongruous to hear these characters who are from Manchester talking like they're from South Boston and Revere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It is very...
But it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Because Casey Affleck's from South Boston,
but he's from South Boston, nice. And then.
But he's playing a guy from Manchester.
Right.
Why do they have to call it Manchester by the Sea?
And
a downtrodden place, because downtrodden community.
If they called the Sad Life of Lee, who is the character, that would be much more appropriate than calling it Manchester, because it's really not about the place.
In our little corner of the world, is a problem, but for 90% of the people that don't know what Manchester is.
But even so, it's not about the place. So why would you call a movie?
Maybe someone had like a vendetta against Manchester or something.
Well, I think
they have no idea what Manchester.
I think it was all also pulling at the romance of living by the sea, he had this. He had this life.
Oh,
he had this beautiful life on the water, and then something changed that, and he goes home. Why is he going home? Why is it hard for him to go home?
Yeah.
I think it's romanticizing this life he had and showing you that it's not what everybody thinks it could be.
But his life wasn't that great. He had the three children, but he obviously had an alcohol problem.
Yeah.
Even when he had the three children, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I understand your point that it's really not about a place, it's about a person. It would be
yeah.
if you took the movie Dr. Zhivago and called it Siberia.
Siberia, right.
Right.
Right. Or, you know. Yeah, I just... I would recommend anybody to go see it.
I listened to a podcast, the Tony Kornheiser Show. And Tony Kornheiser is a guy that's on ESPN as a talk show, and he does a one-off where he lives in Washington D.C., but it's very they talk about, you know, more pop culture stuff more than sports on his ESPN show. Anyway, I happen to align, like, so that every Friday they do movie reviews, and I was shocked to hear that there was the first that I had heard that he didn't enjoy it. Because I had a lot of the local people that I had heard were saying good things about
it. Well, you know, perhaps that's partly you want to say good things, you want to encourage this
local business,
this local business. You know, we love having movies come. I don't want to say anything disparaging, you know what I mean? But I just, that's why I was a little disappointed when I went to see it, because you don't hear one thing about how it's really a dark story, you know. And I didn't have that awareness at all when I went into the film. I was like, oh, it's going to be Manchester by the Sea, and, you know, Ben Affleck and Michelle Williams, it's going to be like a romance, and it's the furthest thing from that.
Well, I went in knowing it was going to be dark, but honestly, I went out for drink. I went with my boyfriend's mom and her friends, and then we all went out for drinks after to talk about it. And I sat there silent the entire time because that movie is a lot to process.
It took
me like 2 or 3 days to be like, how do I actually feel about this? Yeah. Like, that was a really intense film. There are some moments where you're just like, whoa, like, is that happening? Is that real? I didn't think that was going to happen.
It's not all polo shirts and Crocs. Huh?
No. I know that feeling. I'm trying to think of the one other movie. I left the movie feeling that way. I can't, I'm not going to try to think about it, but I can connect with what you're saying.
It's like a numbing effect.
That.
You're
I remember leaving a movie and feeling that way, like,
powerful, then that's worth something, right?
And it was one instance like that after another.
Yeah, right. It would happen, and then you'd get like 10 or 15 minutes where you're like, oh, okay, things are settling down, we're okay, and then something else would happen.
Wow.
It just kept doing that over and over.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on where you are in your life, maybe. Because if you're in a pretty dark place to begin with, maybe you don't need to see that. And maybe, you know, things are all, you know, roses and gravy.
And it's before Christmas, and it's just not the movie you want.
When I was a young adult, and a teenager, I loved Bergman films. I loved all that dark stuff. And then as I got older, and actually life began
and
to get dark, I thought, no, I don't think I want to stay there.
Right. I know exactly how you feel. Right? You go through a divorce or something, and then, you know, you see some horrible
Kramer
things in your
Kramer
life, and you're like, you know what? I don't need this shit. No,
all you want is happy stuff. Happy all the time.
Yeah, just feed me the food. You know what I mean? You know, it's my theory about this. So that, you know how, like, I'm very anti... I grew up very anti-drugs and very anti, you know, like the happy pills, you know, because I feel like they're over-prescribed and everything else. And then, like, you know, I saw some older people in my life, you know, as they got a little bit older, and some really horrible stuff happens, you know, deaths and stuff like that, and they start taking the happy pills, and really they smooth out, and you know, there's side effects to everything.
Right.
In my head, though, this is my theory is this. Like, when I get to be, like, 65... I think I don't give a fuck what's going on. I'm going to start out on low doses of that shit. And I'm just going to ramp up until I'm just going to ramp up until, you know what I mean? Like, why not? Why wouldn't you, right?
Oh, imagine you doing that. You're not going to do that.
You're not that far off.
No, I'm just saying, like, if you don't.
I'm not that far off. She's calling you on it.
You hate pills.
It's certain Thursday, you can just start smoking weed all day, too.
Right.
I can't do weed, though, because.
I can't either.
I can't. Just I'm ruined for the. Some people are totally functional. Yeah. I am not functional.
Me neither.
Non-functional. No. Like, I do not want to do anything the next day. I'm a very high-functioning guy. I can
well,
do a lot of stuff in a day. Huh? No, I mean, I can get a lot of, I can multitask and get, for the amount of stuff we do down here, work-wise, and the blog and organizing.
The amount of energy you have, I can't even wrap my mind around it sometimes.
Well, you don't normally see me at the end of the day, and I'm cooked.
Yeah, but when I know you've been here at 4:30, and I drive by at 7 o'clock at night, and the light is still on, and the door is still open,
drag.
And I'm like, oh my god,
I'm dragging, you know? Yeah, and it's been happening for like all season,
nonstop.
Right now, this time of year. The reason I have a little bit of energy right now is because I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. January 1, I have my first vacation of the year, so I don't have to get up at 3:30. tomorrow I got to get up at 2:30. We got to offload a trailer truck from Portland.
That's how it is every Monday.
Not every Monday, but yeah.
Whoa.
So tell us what Bex's
sorry, I pulled it up. It was Bad Santa. Bad Santa whispered in Johnny's little ear that the Tooth Fairy and Easter Bunny doesn't exist.
Oh, Bex.
But if you look at this Santa, he's wearing some Trex. Look at this.
Oh, God. I don't like that.
Look at this.
That's
in the
terrifying.
Bottom one, and the suit's all disheveled, and he looks like he's
That's
hammered.
Awesome. That's terrifying.
The photo's hysterical. Awesome.
Yeah, photo. Yeah, I didn't even ask permission of the parent. The parent posted this on Instagram, so I figured it's okay.
Do you know the parent? Do you know that?
Yeah, she's one of the funniest people. I don't really know her that well. I know her mom probably more. Her mom used to work here packing whiting. Her name, and she's with that Clean Beach Association thing, Kylie Davis.
Oh, okay.
Kylie Beth Davis. Yeah. I think she goes by Kylie Beth.
Right, she's the person with the hypodermic needles.
The hypodermic needle, right.
You better explain.
Just leave it at that.
End of last summer, they were on Niles Beach, and the kids stepped on a hypodermic needle, and it set off this. Right. You know, think about, you know,
how are we going to dispose?
How are we going to make sure that the beaches are cleaned and with lights so the junkies aren't coming down here to shoot up?
Oh,
and
it was a pretty upsetting event. I remember. Yeah.
It was, yeah. And there's. You know, I was talking to some of the fishermen about that, and they said, you know, a lot of junkies are, they happen to be junkies. In all walks of life, there are junkies, not just fishermen, but there are fishermen that are junkies, that a hypodermic needle does float, and it isn't inconceivable that that could have floated up onto Niles Beach.
Oh, okay.
As opposed to
some
junkie going to Niles Beach to do heroin,
right, yeah.
To shoot up.
That makes sense to me. Because so much stuff washes up on Niles Beach. You know?
Barges, boats.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of fishing boats, everything. So, yeah. So there's that. So anyway, this girl, Kylie Davis, Kylie Beth, I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Another bunch of concerned moms started this Gloucester Clean Beaches Initiative group or something like that.
Yeah.
And they try to put in some plans and meet with the city people to see what they can do as concerned moms. And they came up with this thing where they were going to leave, they brought rakes to each of the beaches, and if you feel like it, you could rake up your area before you sat down or whatever. They had a bunch of different little initiatives that they did.
It's a nice idea.
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah. Because you can't depend on, the DPW workers are already do an incredible job. Right. They're already stretched pretty thin, right, with all the dog poop over on.
Right, and also they spent the first half of the summer without a machine rake.
Right, this year.
Without a truck.
Their machine, the big machine that rakes the beaches, was busted.
Right.
And they had to wait for the thing to get fixed. So they had one machine that they were going to all the different, they had a... spread out the schedule.
Plus, there's so much stuff on the beach. If you miss one hypodermic needle, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How can you?
That's not.
They can't really. Be
that's not on them. No, not at all. I wanted to. It's just a quick question, and I want honest feedback for people that you may not follow the blog. You probably don't follow the blog. You guys know. You guys follow the blog to a degree. Do you? And I'm gonna put this in a poll. Do you guys think I'm crazy with this with my Weber grill rescue? Yes.
Of course. I say no.
I don't
really
think so.
I don't
I'm following it on your page.
Really think about
every man's got to have a dream, Joey.
Yeah, it's your hobby.
It's your hobby.
Yeah.
It's
your hobby. Do you not understand? Do you not get it?
I totally get it.
Get it? It's so much fun for you.
Here's the thing, right? Some of these grills.
Who's giving you a complex?
Well, you get the comments on Facebook and stuff like that. People say,
we
need to have an intervention, a grill intervention. So these grills are. Some people, they abandon these grills, or they just, they don't appreciate them, or they don't, they buy one and they put it away because they don't like cooking on charcoal, they don't get it, and stuff like that, which is all fine and everything, but these grills are that Weber design has virtually been unchanged for like 60 years. Mm. There's something to it, okay? And
I have one.
And you have one,
totally
right?
Totally agree.
You can, so you know, how does, about 6 years, you know, well, 10 years ago now, I bought like $1,000 stainless grill. It was supposed to be like this gas grill. It was supposed to be like this awesome grill, last forever and everything else. 3 years later, it was completely rusted out. It was useless. It was Weber grills, no matter how dirt, like people neglected and caked up with, sediment or dust or whatever, ash. You know, you can take a razor scraper and get right down to the porcelain finish. It's the same finish that they use on the inside of ovens. Mm-hmm. It's so durable. So there's these beautiful cooking machines that people discard of sometimes for $30, $40 that with a couple hours of elbow grease come back to beautiful, beautiful things. And I happen to collect the ones that are rare colors. You know, so people have discarded this beautiful red, timeless grill.
Homer Simpson one.
Oh, the Homer Simpson 10th anniversary one.
So what are you going to do with 20 grills, though, is like really where we need to go with this. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do with 20?
That's a totally fair question. I don't have 20, but I do have
You're on your way now.
I have 10. But no, so what I'm going to do is, right now, people are discarding them.
Yeah.
And they're not, and because it's not grilling season and stuff like that, they have to move a grill. So I search for really unique, awesome, rare colored ones. And I'll travel to go get them. So my time is worth some money, right? And the couple hours or 3 hours that I'm gonna, and the parts that I put into them. Like, so if I buy a grill for $40 and I put $20 worth of parts and I have a couple hours worth of, or 3 hours into cleaning it up and bringing it to make it look like 90% of brand new, and I sell it for, you know, 100, 120.
That's very reasonable.
It's very reasonable for a rare collector's item. And I actually enjoy, it's kind of cathartic and peaceful for me, cleaning the grill.
That's a healthy hobby to have. I think it's good. Yes. But I'd like to see it go somewhere else. I'd like to see you keep them and do some type of an event, like a cook-off, right? Because if you got 10 or 20 different grills, and then you go to some place in Gloucester that's cool.
The farmer's market, fish throwdown.
Yeah.
We were going to do it at City Hall. We were going to do one for the vets. And we're going to do a bunch of pork butts on the, and pulled pork sandwiches for the vets. And when we were going to do it, work just got crazy. I just didn't have the time to do it. But
maybe in the mid-spring you can.
Maybe
no, New Year's Eve, doing the cold. New Year's Eve or New Year's Day.
Right?
Let's put a call out, too, if anybody has one of those old aqua turquoise ones. Joey's looking for one of those.
Glen Blue, it's called, is the color.
I don't think I've even ever seen one.
It's the grail.
I grill all year round.
Huh?
I grill all year round. What's mine? Do you know the...
You have a stoke. Yours is gas, though.
Mine's gas, yeah.
I mean,
what color is yours?
I got mine from Joey.
Orange.
Orange.
Ooh. Yeah, when I stopped grilling with gas, she got my
Oh, the stokes, that other brand that you used
So I'm not crazy. There is a method to the madness, and there are ones that I will not sell, and there are ones that I will.
I need to clean my grill. But I don't know how. I guess I should just watch a YouTube video.
Well, yours has cast iron grates, so you have to.
But underneath the grate, so when you take the grate off, that piece, that's that metal.
The burner. Yeah.
Well, underneath the burners are underneath, and it's that piece right there.
Oh yeah.
What do you have to undo it? How would I?
I bet you it lifts
that?
Right out, and then you could take a razor scraper.
So if I break
it,
you'll just fix it anyway.
Oh fuck! Don't put me like that. Anyway, okay. We wanted to talk about this. Will be our last thing. Pastel Villa Corta. Our friend Danielle. She's on Center Street, right up from the street from Passports and Mark Adrian and Shoes. Mm-hmm. And there, the space is very dark, and she's looking to put a street light in there. So if anybody knows how to get to lobby the city for a street light.
Street lights, right. Because I think there's one down at the bottom, I believe, and it might even be like a lower LED, and it's pointing a different direction. Mm. So even that might be able to be adjusted to have a higher LED as high as the other ones on the street and maybe pointed up Center Street. But nonetheless, you still need another one because it's very dark and she was almost robbed. So I don't know, because you were having a disjointed conversation because she was very busy while she was telling me about this. But so I don't know the details of almost being robbed, but it was, you know, she works, like, you know, 12 hours a day, and it's a bit dark when she leaves.
She's a great follow on Instagram.
And
I don't know if she does Facebook or not, cause I haven't checked her out, but on Instagram, her photos of her pasta, you could frame each one.
Yeah,
I had some of that pasta last week.
Did you?
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, you can't see me making this finger thing on them, but a thumbs up, real good.
Yeah,
real treat, just a little olive oil, salt and pepper.
I need to try her raviolis. I think she sells out quick. So
I'm sure. Does she do different kinds?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yes. I gotta go in there. Every time I
have
go
you
by,
not been yet?
I have not. I have to
it's
go in.
It's just that most charming little shop too. Like she has like a
it's so nice
window.
And open, like
it's
you can
open,
yeah.
She's got basil.
Yeah.
She's got the basil.
Beautiful.
She's
and I'm doing a little post about it. She's making beautiful gift baskets also for holiday gift baskets.
There you go.
So.
Are you guys at Cape Ann Power Yoga doing any Christmas promotions?
Gift certificates. Just buy gift certificates. I think what do you think? We have some promotion.
I think last year you did a promotion.
I think,
tell.
No, you know what it is. If you buy, I think if you buy a month unlimited, you get You get an extra week. If you buy 6 months, no, I don't know exactly. Look on the website. That'll tell you. I don't want to spread any misinformation.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure you guys will be posting. If you have any new ones, you'll be posting them on Cape Ann Wellness. All right, there you go. GlossCast 212. Thank you guys for sticking around for this. Did you have
fun?
Yeah,
it very much.
Absolute treat.
We have a good time, right? All right, GlossCast 212 is in the books. And there's the exit music.